Welcome to Career Tools. This week, how to schedule a meeting and the rule of twos, the Calendly cast. The questions this cast answers are, why shouldn't I use Calendly or any other meeting scheduling app? And what's the right way to schedule a meeting? Folks, if all this conversation about other people and how they think and how you might understand them and how they might misunderstand you, may I respectfully recommend our Effective Communicator suite of tools and training. We offer the MT Disc, which you've probably heard because we keep mentioning it, but it's so important. It's the one thing that changed everything for me. It meant that people weren't winding me up. I could actually understand where they were coming from and be able to communicate with them about the things that were important to them in a way that they understood that I was understanding them. It was revelatory. And if I could give you one thing, I would give you that. So that's MT Disc. If you want to learn more, we have the Effective Communicator video course. So you can learn all of the Effective Communicator conference, everything we teach in that conference, but you can do it in bite-sized pieces, on video, on demand, when you're ready. If you're ready for more than that, we have the Effective Communicator as a virtual conference, so you can have a live instructor, you can ask all your questions, but you get the same content and you learn more about how to understand, how to pick other people's DISC profiles out, and then what to do to enhance the communication, and you get to practice. So someone tells you how well you're doing before you have to practice on your colleagues. It's amazing. And then if you're really ready to immerse yourself, there are in-person conferences all over the country. There's at least one a month. For the rest of this year, we're currently planning 2023, so I wouldn't wait that long though. Come to a 2022 one, because why would you wait to change your life? That doesn't make any sense. So go to managertools.com, look for Effective Communicator under training or under the products section. You'll find everything from MT Disc, which is your entry point, all the way up to in-person conferences, which is the immersive, get it all at once, change your life in one day conference. And I recommend all of them. There was a Wall Street Journal article a few weeks ago, which ended up all over the internet, because the headline was, when did scheduling a meeting become a power trip? And it was all about whether or not you could use this scheduling software called Calendly, which we'll explain in a second. And Mark wrote afterwards in one of his emails, how do you think it's appropriate to ask someone else for their time and then presume your calendar takes precedence such that you can give them windows of time that only work for you? Which was also the premise of the article, is, you know, we'll explain, but basically you're telling someone to fit in with you.
Right.
And so a number of people wrote to us then and said, well, okay, I can see the argument about not using scheduling software, but then what do I do? So this cast is the answer to that.
Yeah. Our outline for this cast is, why is using scheduling apps so wrong? Avoiding email back and forth. The rule of twos. That's a good one. You send the calendar invite or video conference link. And note for internal calendar scheduling.
So we'll start with the premise, or the if you don't if we can't convince you of this, then nothing else matters part.
Right. So let's talk about why using scheduling apps is so wrong. For those of you who don't know about Calendly, and there are other ones, right, Wendy? I mean, there's a few out there, but I think Calendly right now, at least, is the most popular, most well known. These apps, they facilitate the scheduling of meetings by giving the user a link to share with other people that gives other people visibility on available time slots in their calendar. So they can pick a calendar or pick an available time slot and schedule a meeting. So for example, if I want to schedule a meeting with Wendy, I would send her my Calendly link, which shows the times that I have available, which in theory, then she can select the times that work for her, and then the meeting is booked without any discussion, any dialogue, any back and forth, right? Calendly and other of those apps extol the efficiency of this system, right? The whole point here is that efficiency is the impetus for this, right?
Yeah.
And efficiency, like we see in a lot of things, is being held up over effectiveness.
The first thing about meetings is a meeting is about a relationship.
Absolutely.
So why would you send someone to a tool that's impersonal? That the exchange of knowledge or collaboration that happens during the meeting is built upon the relationship between the two people. If people didn't need to be involved, we wouldn't involve them. We'd go to Google or we would do the work ourselves. But the two people involved in a meeting are not equal partners in the exchange. Though Andrew and I are peers because he wants something, a meeting, and I have my own time, he is subordinate to me. He wants my time for that meeting. And in this case, he's subordinate to me. I have the power to say whether or not this meeting goes ahead because he's asking me. And therefore, he should be making it easy for me to give him what he wants.
Yeah. And Wendy, I think there's a subtle point here in that I think it's so profound to say meetings are about relationships, even though that seems simple, right? It seems like it's intuitive. I don't think a lot of people understand that, but I could be wrong. I do think, though, that what we're talking about is maybe the person who is using Calendly could understand that, right? Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they understand meetings are about relationships, but they think the relationship starts at the meeting, in the meeting.
Good point.
What they don't understand is that the relationship has started. The relationship started when you sent that invite or that link and said, here, you find a time, right? You pick a time. And I think you could argue, and I think, you know, most scheduling apps do argue that by sending a link, I am making it easier for that person to give me what I want, right? I'm trying to make it easy. That's that efficiency thing.
Right. If you send a link, the idea is that you are making it easy because the person doesn't have to talk to you. They don't have to ask you questions. They just have to click the link and then find a time that works for them. But what that misses is when you send the link, it has a restricted number of slots on it, right? You've already taken out the things that you want to do, the other meetings that you're in that could be moved, for example. You're not saying, here's my entire 40-hour, 50-hour, 60-hour work week. You're saying, here's the 3 hours that I have available this week. And so my choice is not any of the 60 hours. It's only the best of those three for me.
And the truth is, when you look at your calendar, everyone knows this, there are things that are more important than others. There's nuance. And so what we're saying when we send someone a link and say, here are my available times, is we're saying, some of you are going to get wrapped around the axle here, but what we're really saying to that person is we're conveying to them, that means everything else that's on my calendar is more important than this meeting with you. So you can choose from the times that I have available. I don't have anything going on.
And in which case, you'd be well within your rights to say, well, if it's not that important to you, I'm not going to make it work. Why should I move my stuff for something you want?
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. You know, and the thing about the link thing is that it misses something really important about people's calendars. And if we were having a conversation, there are things that are less important on people's calendars. If we were having a conversation and Andrew said, oh, I have to be done by 3 that day because I'm going to see my kids in a school play, I'd say, oh, of course, let me see what I can move because that's important. It's family, you know, why it's important.
For instance, in that situation, if I said, or if I had something in my calendar that was head down work to do email or do something that is still important, but it's something I could easily move. It's not a hard stop. Like, that's different. And you don't get those nuances. You don't get that subtlety.
No, all you see when you look at the link is, he can't meet then.
Right.
You don't get that chance to hear or even to negotiate. Oh, you know what? I put that on my calendar, but it's not happening now. Or I put that on my calendar, but don't worry about it. I can move it. Or I put that on my calendar, but it's a message to myself. Because we put all sorts of stuff on our calendar.
Yeah.
I had a note on my calendar on Monday that said, make sure that we ship Mark's golf club somewhere. That's not an appointment that will take half an hour, but it looks like half an hour on my calendar because I put it there to remind myself. So there's all sorts of stuff on your calendar that isn't appointments that people could use, but the scheduling software generally doesn't go down to that level. It doesn't appreciate that nuance.
And this is one of those things where, just like when we talk about communication, our assumption by and large is that people communicate the way that we communicate.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case. Hopefully, we've demonstrated that with all the stuff I mean, it seems like every week we're talking about DISC, right? But we assume that people manage their calendar the way that we manage our calendar.
Oh, right.
And that is not the case.
So not true. If I just think of the 10, 11 people that work here, they're completely different.
All do it differently.
Yeah. So the first question to ask yourself is, do you really want to meet with this person?
Yeah.
So one of the examples of using Calendly I see a lot is people asking Mark to go on their show, because we have a big audience. Other podcasters want that audience. They want interesting guests who will be able to talk and answer questions and so on. So we get daily people saying, please, will Mark go on our podcast?
Mm-hmm.
And the benefit is generally to them, because generally they're a smaller podcast. So it's not adding a huge amount of audience for us.
Right.
But when Mark says, hey, I went on this podcast, our audience, you guys that are listening now, go listen to that podcast. So it increases their audience. So the benefit's on their side, mostly.
Yeah.
And we can make Mark do other things during the hour. We could make him present. We could make him write. We could make him think about the business. There's all sorts of things that are much more value to manager tools that Mark could be doing during that hour.
Yeah. There are clients that would love that hour from Mark, right?
Exactly.
To do other things and, you know.
So this podcaster is subordinate to Mark in that they are asking for something he wants and they're offering less value than he could use that hour for otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So he says he'll do the interview and then they send a Calendly link and there's like three available blocks. There's three available hours in the next 3 weeks. Or there's one that I got recently and it was Australia and every single available time was a month away and also like 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. in Mark's time zone. And yes, that's convenient for the Australian, but it's not convenient for Mark. So what are we going to do? Tell some client, oh, sorry, Mark can't do that because he was up all night talking to someone in Australia.
Right, right.
We're not going to do that.
Someone who is an advocate of Calendly may hear that story and say, well, how do they know what time zone Mark is in? That's the whole point.
Exactly.
Is you have to ask.
Yes.
You have to have some dialogue, right?
Uh-huh.
You can't just assume that people are on the same time zone as you or whatever, right? And so, yeah, sorry, I don't want to expose my bias here.
But what happens a lot is that people have their routine on their calendar. You said you have email slots. So do I. But those are easily moved. They're just to remind me, do email. My preferences, my deep work time, my time that I set aside for email, every single thing on my calendar, is that more important than the meeting I want to have with this person? And if everything you have is more important than the meeting you're thinking about, then go ahead and use Calendly, because that's what it says to the person receiving it.
Right.
If some things are less important, things that you would move if you were asked, then don't. Let's do it the right way.
Okay. Our next point is avoiding the email back and forth, right? One of the benefits of Calendly is the efficiency, right? We talked about the efficiency, which really what we're talking about is eliminating the back and forth of, well, can you make this work? Can you make that work, right? We talk about, you know, can you meet Thursday at 4? Well, no, Fridays are my only free day. 9 o'clock? No, that won't work for me. Friday, I can do 12. Well, if you can make it 12:30, then I can make that work, right?
That's how they think that that email exchange goes. Like four emails to arrange one meeting. But that's silly.
Yeah, that's silly. That's like my two-year-old has a little hammer and block set, right? Mm-hmm. And that's like if he can't get the peg to go down with his little toy Fisher-Price hammer, then I pull out my like jackhammer and say, well, then this is what we need to do, right? That's not a good... Yeah, no. Exactly. We're having a much more robust solution for a much more simple problem.
So instead, the first email has to have a lot more flexibility in it. So the person who asks for the meeting, who sends the first email, has to include a lot more flexibility. And then you only need two emails, which makes it easy. So we're going to talk about the rule of twos in a second, but let's do the examples first. So for example, thank you for agreeing to meet with me. I have availability 2 till 4 on Tuesday, 10 till 12 on Wednesday, and Thursday I'm fully flexible, all Pacific. Is there a time in there that will work for you? If not, please let me know what's best for you and I'll make it work this end.
Yeah, you could also say, Mondays and Tuesdays are hard for me, but I can make any time work on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. You could also say, I'd like to meet in the afternoons as it allows me to work with my overseas teams in the mornings. If that works for you, great. If a morning will work best for you, I just need 2 days' notice to rearrange things. Saying the words, I can make any time work on a given day or on multiple days, does not say that you don't have anything to do on those days, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't say that your calendar is free. I would imagine that most professionals would not have an entirely free day, mm-hmm. right? But saying I can make that work or I can make any time work, that says that the things that you do have planned for that day are not more important than this meeting. Mm-hmm. That's a very different message, right? It's so much better.
It says, I can move things to make a time work for you because this is important to me. Hey, that's such a different message than send me a link and fit in with my times.
Mm-hmm.
So the rule of twos of email scheduling says that when you offer times, you must offer at least two times over 2 days at two different times of day. I'll say that again. Two times over 2 days at two different times of day. If one of those days is tomorrow, you have to offer an extra day. And if it's already Wednesday, one of the offerings has to be next week. So we'll try and break that down a bit. So two times over 2 days at two different times of day. So for example, 2 till 4 on Tuesday, that's one time, 10 till 12 on Wednesday. So that's two different times on two different days. And one is afternoon and one is morning. So that's the different times of day. So that allows for the person you're meeting to be in meetings all day one day, but still meet you on the other, or someone who has busy mornings to meet you at the afternoon, or vice versa. And it gives them at least two times to choose from.
Absolutely. If one of those days is tomorrow, you have to offer an extra day. Meeting tomorrow is either easy in that someone has nothing on their calendar that can't be moved, or difficult in that they're fully booked. Assuming that it's difficult, give them the courtesy of the extra day.
And if it's already Wednesday, one offering has to be next week. And it works the same way. Similarly, meeting this week is either easy in that, you know, mm-hmm. all the stuff I've got in the short term could be moved, or it's difficult because nothing can be moved. And so we assume that it's difficult and we give them the extra flexibility of a day next week when it's likely that their calendar is more malleable or, you know, the training is finished, whatever they're doing this week.
Exactly. The rule of twos gives you an acceptable minimum, not a desirable state or a maximum. The more important the meeting is to you, the more flexibility you want to give.
So if I was meeting a CEO and I wanted to do an interview for my dissertation, for example, I would say, I will meet you anywhere at any time. Just tell me where.
Right.
Right. If I was meeting Andrew, I might say, dude, look at my calendar, pick a time. Mm-hmm. Because one, he's my colleague. And two, a meeting between us is likely to be less important than most of what I have on my calendar.
Yeah. And one of the things that we're going to talk about is, you know, we're peers, right?
Yes,
I don't
exactly.
just see the available time. I see
what everything. I have that in that time. Yeah. And so you're likely to be able to say, oh, I see you have this. It looks like it's movable. Is it? Right?
Yeah. And I think that, well, not that this is really, we're probably going down a little bit of a rabbit hole here, but we've talked about this just from scheduling, recording these casts. When I'm presenting, if I have a heavy presenting week, those are things Wendy knows. I can't move those things.
Right.
Right. But she may have more flexibility that week than I do. And so we look at my calendar and where I have openings. And when, on weeks where I'm not presenting as much or I have more free time, right, then I can look at Wendy's calendar and we can see what fits within her schedule. You know, you've got stuff sometimes that you have hard stops, right? Mm-hmm. Important things can't be moved. So yeah, we work around that.
And if it's not obvious, and it probably isn't, also let them know how much time you need.
Great point.
There's a really big difference in someone's ability to fit in a 10-minute meeting and an hour-long meeting into their day. So you can say things like, I think we can be done in 30 minutes, or I don't think we'll need longer than 45 minutes, or I have 5 items and I think they need 5 minutes each.
Mm.
And as a professional, of course, you don't take longer than the time you've allotted. And if you really want to impress and get more meetings with this person, take less time than you estimate. So if you estimate 20 minutes, tell them half an hour, get done in 20 minutes, you've won.
Right, exactly. Our next point is that you send the calendar invite or video conference link. The person who wants the meeting should be the person who does the work to get the meeting on the calendar, to make the meeting happen. This is a professional rule. This means that if you want the meeting, you send the calendar link, you send the agenda, the pre-meeting briefing, the video conference link, and whatever else is needed to make the meeting effective. You do so in time for the person you want to meet with to have a smooth experience meeting with you. Not doing so is not only unprofessional, but it also disincentivizes people to meet with you. It can become a drain on your relationship and will cause you more problems in the future.
And when we say you, if you have an assistant who's going to do that for you, they count as you. You're doing the work. As for some people,
good point.
Your assistant will do it for you, but still, you do the work. The work comes from your side, as it were.
Right. That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
For internal calendar scheduling, there's a really big difference between a meeting that needs to be formally arranged and an informal meeting between peers. So there's a difference if I set up a meeting for Mark for the entire team about an important project and an ad hoc, I need to talk to this person to resolve this problem. And what's more, peers can see, as we mentioned, the entirety of one another's calendar, at least you should be able to. And you have an understanding of the other's workload, of their constraints, of their preferences, rather than the free, busy dichotomy that a scheduling app gives you. Instead of getting that black and white, they're either free or busy, you have much more context and much more information about what's on their calendar, how important it is, how likely they are to be able to move it, how important this meeting is in comparison to the things that they're already doing, and so on.
Yeah. It's completely acceptable when two people work closely together for one of them to say, oh, yeah, sure, I'll meet with you. Find some time on my calendar, right? Because when a peer looks at your calendar to find a good meeting time, they're aware that that block of time that would be best is just reserved for you to do email, like we talked about earlier, because they see that it says email on your calendar, right? And therefore, they can safely assume that you can probably move that, right? If need be. Equally, they can probably see that maybe there's a block that doesn't just say email. Maybe it says prepare for big presentation. I don't know, whatever it's called, right? Prepare for that big presentation. And hopefully they'll have a good idea that that is not a meeting that can be moved, or at least they can weigh it against what they know you guys are meeting about. So helpful, right? Because they have just more information than just free or busy. And so they'll know whether or not that meeting takes priority or whether it can wait.
And assuming your calendars are open to one another and you're respectful of each other's workloads and constraints and preferences and priorities and your peers with a good relationship, then scheduling on one another's calendars without an explicit conversation about does this time work for you is acceptable. But if you need your peer to prepare or be on the phone or in a meeting for more than 30 minutes to do you a favor where it's more help to you than it is to them, or that you need them to make a big decision, or you want to persuade them to your side for a decision that affects a lot of people, then you would be wise to follow the protocols that we've already described. Because in that case, you really want something big from them, and therefore subordinating yourself and being more accommodating, it sets the meeting up well in terms of they're already looking on you favorably, apart from anything else, right?
Yeah. Wendy, I think some people are going to hear that and they're going to think subordinating yourself, it sounds like a bad thing, right? And folks, it's not a bad thing. I mean, if you give up your seat on a bus or in a crowded lounge because to someone who's elderly or disabled or pregnant, you're subordinating yourself. But that's not how you look at it, right? Yeah. You look at it as, well, I'm being nice, I'm being chivalrous, I'm being polite. But it's subordinating yourself. It's just a matter of perspective and how you look at it.
Yeah, if you don't like that word, put in polite or chivalrous or there some other word. But
Accommodating. Considerate.
Yes, exactly. All of those words. We love technology. Technology is awesome. It enables us to talk to you right now. So, you know, you can pry my iPad out of my cold, dead hands. I always say, I will give everything up. Don't you take my iPad. And we love Google Sheets and Text Expander and all of the things that make our working lives more efficient and easier. But when technology comes at the expense of relationships, that's when we all start losing out. So don't put efficiency ahead of effectiveness when it comes to the relationships of the people you work with or the people that you want to work with.
Yeah. We've said this before. I think we said this with the network casts. Like, there's a lot of different ways you can try to systematize, right, your network. But you have to understand networks are about relationships and meetings are about relationships. If you didn't know that before, now you do. And you can't outsource your relationships.
You can't.
Using Calendly.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Wendy. Bye, everyone.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with maybe something less controversial. Bye, everyone.